Our reading this morning is from Galatians, the sixth chapter, starting in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load.
As we have just read and as we have sung, Paul said, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We all have burdens to bear, do we not? And sometimes we think, well, I've got so many burdens to bear, it's hard to see what everybody else might be bearing. Individually, there's something we all have to do, but collectively, we should strive to help one another. Paul points out there in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Do we ever stop to think that as one person is tempted, we may not be? But you know, that's just not true. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we may all, in fact, be tempted. Because there is one that is seeking to tempt each and every one of us. Peter wrote in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 5, there beginning in verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The devil is trying to tempt you. He is trying to tempt me. And as we're told, we experience the same sufferings. What I am going through, you may be going through. And what you may be going through, I may be going through. You see, it is nothing unusual. In fact, it is something that is relevant to all. Paul even told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You hear that? The temptation is common to man. We all have ways of being tempted, and we all have ways to find the way of escape. It's up to us to find that way. It's up to us to take advantage of that way. And if we think that we can't see it, maybe it is up to somebody else to help us to see that way. Or maybe we can help others to see the way of escape. An opportunity does exist. But let's think about those opportunities. What about the temptation? What if it is too great for me to overcome? Well, we all know that temptation does have consequences, does it not? The Bible teaches us in the book of James chapter 1 just what those consequences are. In James chapter 1, there beginning in verse 12, James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth unto sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I'm sure there are some things that tempt you that may not tempt me. There may be things that tempt me that may not tempt you. But regardless, we all face temptation. And as human nature, it is easy to give in to temptation. And we're told that temptation will cause us to sin. Is sin something that we have all done? I believe so. Because didn't Paul say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? It makes sense then that if we have all sinned, at some point we have all been tempted. And so it's easy to look down upon ourselves and say, what am I supposed to do? How can I overcome sin? But you know, there is an answer for that. Because there is one that has indeed overcome sin. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible describes him in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 15. Though we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus was tempted as you and I are. That what separates Jesus apart is that Jesus has overcome that sin. Do you remember the times in which especially Satan tempted Jesus? If you need to refresh your memory, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Satan tried to get Jesus to do something at least on three different occasions. And even John describes these temptations in 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 through 17. He described them as being the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. But on each and every occasion, Jesus did not do what Satan tried to get Jesus to do. But instead, he said, it is written. Jesus knew what his heavenly Father expected of him. And what about you and what about me? Do we know what God expects of us? Are we willing to do what God wants us to do? Are we willing to support him through his trials? And are we willing to undergo trials when we are keeping his commands? In Luke chapter 22, there in verse 28, Jesus said, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. There were some that were willing to support Jesus. There were those that were willing to undergo many trials and tribulations to stand up for him. And yet we know also there are many that we're not. And sometimes it seems that it is difficult to stand up for him on our own. In fact, when you look to the Apostle Paul and see the things that happened to him, you find that he encountered a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. And his attitude was never, I can do this all by myself. But rather, he told the Philippians in chapter 4 and in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Where does our strength come from? It comes from Christ. And God gave him to you and to me, according to John chapter 3 and in verse 16. Therefore, the things that we need come from God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. God knows what we need before we ask him, and the things that we need to help get us through the temptations God has provided. Do we ever stop to say, thank you for giving us those things that we need? Do we ever stop to look at ourselves, to see us as human beings, and God for him being a spiritual being, for God giving us the things that pertain to life and to godliness. One such time we have an opportunity is by partaking of the Lord's Supper that we did just a few moments ago. You remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul had given reasons of why we partake of the bread and why we partake of the fruit of the vine. And he said that there are things that we need to be considering as we partake of these things. And in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Do we think of ourselves as human beings, as sinners? Do we think about Jesus Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, who was tempted just like we all are, yet without sin? And because he was willing to lay down his life upon the cross and shed his sinless blood that our sins could be taken away, the very sins that have grown out of the temptations that we have all experienced and often have to endure. Do we ever think about that? As we think about ourselves and none of us are immune, we then begin to think about others. Now I begin to see exactly what you're going through. I know that I am in no way better than you, but in fact, I am on the same level. That's why Paul says we need to restore others in a spirit of gentleness. A spirit of gentleness. Being kind, being loving, and being very, very patient. Perhaps this is the idea that Paul had in mind in his letter to the Romans in chapter 2. There in chapter 2, he begins telling us that God will hold us accountable for the things that we do. In Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5, he says, "In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Are we patient? Do we seek for glory, honor, and immortality? Are we striving to do good, especially when that involves with helping one another? You see, helping one another is a command of God. And as fellow members of the body of Christ, we need to be considerate of the things of others. Paul taught in Romans chapter 14 and in verse 19, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and by the things by which one may edify another." We're seeking to edify one another. If we're all on a lower level, we all need to help each other to get back up. We need to help each other continue to do the things that God would have us to do. And sometimes those things might be easy, and other times they may be very difficult. Paul was commending those in Thessalonica for doing that very thing. In fact, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." You see, they were already comforting one another. They were already edifying one another. But they shouldn't stop there. Instead, they should continue to do so. And similarly, that's what Paul taught the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, Paul reminds us of the different ways in which God allowed us to serve Him. He says that He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The stature of the fullness of Christ. Imagine how Christ depends on you, and how Christ depends on me. How we depend on Him, but we also depend on each other. A few verses later, in verse 15, he says, that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are edified when we all do our part. Whether that part may be small, whether that part may be big, whether that part may be somewhere in between, every part is needed. And it's easy when we speak highly of one another, we are willing to assist one another when certain deeds might need to be done. And Paul would go on to say later in verse 29 of the same chapter, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. There are things that we all need to hear. There are words that can only come from the Word of God. We need the words of truth, and we also need the words of those that encourage us to study the Word of God and to put His words into practice in our everyday lives. Isn't that one reason why we all come together, perhaps on the first day of the week? Yes, we come to worship God. We come to sing praises unto Him. We come to partake of the Lord's Supper. We come to give of our means. We come to hear the word of the Lord proclaimed. We come to pray to Him for each other and for the world that needs to be saved. But also, there is another reason. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As that day gets closer and closer, we have fewer and fewer opportunities to come together and encourage one another. And therefore, we need to take advantage of every. I don't know about you, but as the service comes to a close and I begin to go back out into the world, having the encouragement from my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ helps me to get throughout the week, helps me to stand up for what is right, helps me to let my light shine before men, that others can see my good works, but glorify God which is in heaven. And based upon the things that I do, I am thankful. I should not be boastful. I should not compare myself to others and say, well, I'm doing more than what somebody else is doing. Or maybe I'm not doing as much as someone else is doing. You recall that Jesus taught a lesson on this in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. There in verses 9 through 14, remember he tells about two that went up to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee began to compare himself to others and begins to boast and say how much he does by fasting and giving tithes, whereas the tax collector would not even so much lift his head up to heaven, but beat upon his breast and say, Have merciful unto me, O God, for I am a sinner. He knew his place. In fact, we all ought to know our place in the eyes of God, but rather we can help each other get to a better place. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, For I say, though the grace was given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Let's not think of ourselves too highly, but instead we're all on the same level. Later in verse 5, he goes on to say that we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What if we all have different gifts? Can I help in encouraging one another? Well, do you have that gift? In verse 8, he says, He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Is that something I can do to help one another? And that's something that I need to be doing. You see, we are not strong, we are not weak, but we are all even in the sight of God. In the very next chapter, in Romans chapter 15, there were some that Paul had written to that considered themselves to be strong. In fact, he warned them in verse 1 to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let us please his neighbor for his good leading to edification. If we strive to help each other, to encourage one another, that is something that God would be very well pleased with. In fact, he went on to encourage them in verse 14, Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. There are those that are filled with goodness. There are those that are filled with knowledge. And what about us? Do we have goodness? Do we have knowledge? Well, we know how we can get knowledge from studying the Word of God. We can get goodness by learning the example of Christ and to live exactly as he had lived. And when we live to the example of Christ, we see how Christ loved one another by his actions, by his words. And as Christians, that's what we need to do for each other. Paul taught the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another and love. I believe that sums up how we ought to help each other. Bearing with one another in love, with lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Perhaps it's human nature to say, well, maybe we all ought to be a little bit better. Maybe we know we should not be doing certain things, but yet we do them. Maybe we know there are things that we should be doing that we leave undone. But think how God is loving toward us. How God is very gentle with us. How God is long-suffering toward us. I believe that if we follow in this example, we'll do exactly as Paul said, that truly bearing one another's burdens would fulfill the law of Christ. Think about this for a moment. Bearing one another's burdens would fulfill the law of Christ. Do you think that it is natural to bear another's burden? What if you had the opportunity to do so? Would you be willing? Or would you find some excuse as why you cannot do it right then and right there? You know, there were some that even Jesus pointed out that would not bear one another's burdens. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples. He said, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Can you imagine that? There are those that parade themselves to be better and higher than others, but when it comes to helping others, Jesus says they will not even lift one of their fingers to do it. You know, they're not the only ones. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 46, Jesus proclaimed woe upon the lawyers. Because they did the very same thing. They would not so much as be willing to help someone else. Are we willing to help others? Do we have a different viewpoint? Perhaps the book of James in chapter 2 will help us be encouraged to do so. James said in chapter 2 and verse 8, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." The royal law according to the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. Think about our neighbors. Think about their trials and tribulations that they undergo. And if I truly love them as I love myself, I'm going to help them through this. That was something that God's people always needed to know. In fact, when you find that these words come back from the Old Testament, you go to Leviticus chapter 19. And there God was giving the people of laws of how to treat one another. In verse 18, he said, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Yes, I will truly love my neighbor as myself. Do you remember that very statement being asked of Jesus by a certain individual? "Lord, who is my neighbor?" Well, Jesus taught who our neighbor was. He tells us how to be neighborly unto others. In fact, he says that there are things that we can do to help one another. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, we read that one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. For this is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, for he has spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" As members of the same body of Christ, that should be our attitude. We should all love God first and foremost with every fiber of our being. And secondly, we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we all love God and we all love one another, we'll be willing to help each other, will we not? We will not put ourselves above others, but yet we will work together to strive to get to heaven. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do you believe that bearing one another's burdens would fulfill the law of Christ? I certainly do. And I believe others would want me to help them bear their burdens. And I would help others to help me bear my burdens. But are we doing that? Are we willing to fulfill the law of Christ? Rather, let us humble ourselves and work together, help each other get to heaven. That's what it's all about. This morning we're about to sing the song of encouragement. And if there today is one that needs to respond to that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.